AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Summer's not over yet. Shop patio furniture to extend your summer fun at NFM. All the outdoor styles you love are on sale and ready to take home today. Shop hundreds of options in stock with savings up to 70% off, all backed by our low price guarantee. Shop outdoor dining, sofas, bistro sets, fire pits, accessories, and more. NFM makes it easy with in-stock styles, guaranteed low prices, and long-term financing. Refresh your outdoor space at NFM. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting.
Come on, Chutney!
Season 9, episode 26 of the Fighting Cock Podcast. I'm joined by Bardi.
Hello.
We've got Big John Bass.
All right.
How you doing?
Good.
We are, we're three for three under Mourinho. What, how does that, how, what the fuck has happened? Like, how does, like, how do you go from not being able to buy a win to winning three on the bounce and everything feeling gravy?
Proper football manager.
Proper, go on then.
Proper football manager.
What has he done?
Well, he's reinvigorated our players. He's got our players playing in their best positions. And he's, you can see there's a bounce and a bit of spirit around the team. Alderweireld, Ali, Son, Sissoko, there's a bit more than just kind of going through the motions at the moment, and we are in that proper managerial bounce mode.
Is that real?
I think so. I think definitely there's been a definite step up in quality and enthusiasm.
Yeah, even the ground on Saturday, you could feel the atmosphere. It was like there was a cloud lifted.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think that the whole time that we've gone through this, like last couple of days and last couple of weeks with the whole Mourinho thing, and there's still this outpouring and kind of mourning for Pochettino, I think that is starting to dissipate now and go away because people are kind of happier, the players look happier, Delhi's back.
How long can you keep that on? What do you think of the flag?
The flag can fuck off. I don't know, it sounds very T saying that, but right. When I saw it, I was just like, for fuck's sake, move on. The thing, what Mourinho's done to us is he's changed the conversation. You guys watch Mad Men, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And when there's a problem with the product, they like, you don't change the product, you change the conversation.
Yeah. Right.
So all of a sudden, the conversation's gone from the players are lacking enthusiasm, their contracts are up, Pochettino's unhappy, to all of a sudden we've got Mourinho refocusing the players. It's still the same players. There's still the same frailties and problems within that set of players, but we've shifted it and the whole mood and everything else has lifted, and you can see that.
Yeah, it's
the game against West Ham, it was the same team that we've had for 3 years.
Yeah.
But he looks like a brand new side.
Well, John and I were just talking while you were downstairs. He's changed. He's playing players to their strengths. He's not asking Ben Davies or now Jan Vertonghen to be Marcelo, to be an incredible up-and-down left-back. But he's asking Aurier to be a crazy attacking fullback and maybe not defend as much, where he's a fucking liability. So he's got players playing in roles that suit them, and especially that's with Dele. That's the key bit with Dele at the moment.
Yeah, I think basically Pochettino got into the stage where he was overthinking every selection. And I think all that Jose's done is basically done exactly what Bardi's just said today. He's just put in like round pegs and round holes. He's just playing Dele Alli in his best position. And when he's on form, he's one of our best players. And he's been amazing in those three games.
But I still can't get my head around like where this form has come from. Like where is the what has Mourinho done? What's he said to him? And I'm not expecting answers from you, but so, yeah. I'm saying that he's done something to find in Dele Alli the player that we had 2 years ago. And even, like, he was incredible against Bournemouth.
Well, he's not playing deep. He's not playing as part of a midfield three. Yeah. And he's not playing as a forward three where he's positioned out wide. He's
close to Kane.
He's a shadow striker, which is... Football Manager back in, like, 2017, when Dele started appearing,
yeah.
There was this guy in Football Manager forums, which is, you know... You see, okay. Sometimes I go on, like, not dark places on the internet.
I mean, it's one less one polar opposite to the other. You go on the dark web and Football Manager forums.
Like, there was a whole thread about how you could make the most out of Dele in Football Manager and that shadow striker role. And that's what he's currently playing now, and that's why he's brilliant again.
Yeah, the Space Invader, isn't it? Ram Doubter, or Ram Doubter.
I don't speak German.
No,
fucking
really. He's attacking space, but he wants the ball, and he's moving with such pace and intent now. And that, do you know, the ball in from Alvaro for his second goal, which was incredible to touch, to chip the keeper. All of it was brilliant.
Mm.
But how much did it remind you of him in his breakout season?
Yeah.
That goal against
West Brom and Everton.
Yes,
and very similar to the Chelsea one as well when Dier pinged it over the top.
Yeah, that is. It's kind of, you've got it back. And if you've got a Dele Alli that's on fire, then you're a dangerous team.
I would like a little point that even when Pochettino's in charge, you started to see Dele come back a little bit.
Yeah,
okay. He
was on his way. He seems to have finally shaken off his injury problem. So he was on his way, but Mourinho is obviously accelerated
him. Yeah, and he's unleashed him and just put him in his best position. Because I think for pretty much a year, like a calendar year, he hasn't played in that position. He's just played either in the middle, and we haven't seen the best of him. So
he's had that diamond, which seems would have stifled everybody, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got a social, Man United on Wednesday. There's still tickets available. £5 on, not on the door, buy tickets from thefightingcock.co.uk/social. Come watch us play Man United. It's going to be good fun. Are you going to be there?
I'll be there.
John Bassey will be there.
Boy.
I'm going to be there. So, come down, have a drink with us, watch Mourinho topple United. Imagine that. Four wins on the bounce. All the naysayers go then, right? Winning four games on the bounce and a tough one. This is their first test, right? You know.
Yeah.
So a tough one to kind of sit through. I spoke to Sam Peoples of United Peoples TV, who for Patreon, a Patreon podcast we did earlier today, and he is not confident about this game at all. He feels like they're going to get dicked. He's hating being a United fan at the moment, which is good.
It's good.
Mickey Kellner on Twitter, he says, in honour of Aurier, which Spurs player would you most like to mount? So this is... he looked like he was giving Sissoko a good bumming.
He did. I mean, I think this is the easiest one because we've got the one of the best looking men, not just in football, but of probably of all time, in Gazzaniga.
Yeah.
I would quite enjoy it, probably multiple times. Let him mount me, if anything. Quite happy with that.
Do you ever think, because you're a man, you're a heterosexual straight man, right?
Yeah.
So straight man.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you're big with it, right?
Yeah.
And in the gay scene, you'd be a big bear, right?
Big time.
Big bear.
Big time.
But what about if you just wanted to be pegged and but you were going out with quite a small, effeminate boy?
But that must... there
not
must
boy. Should say completely legal
keep
adult.
It legal. Two consenting legal adults. Of legal age.
Legal age. Yeah. But you're the one... because, it must be tough for big men in the gay scene.
I imagine so, because I think you get this preconceived idea about your size and stature.
And masculinity.
Yeah, but then, you know... it's 2019, going into 2020. Flip it round, why not? Literally.
Flip, reverse it.
Yeah.
We're in this situation now where we're fifth in the league. Yeah. Jose Mourinho has said that he's urged Spurs to remain close to fourth place Chelsea. He said, we play Chelsea at the end of December. If the game was tomorrow, we would play them with 6 points difference. It would be a fantastic situation. We have to keep close, as close as possible. What does it say about Mourinho's ambitions this season? And is it fair that he isn't going balls out saying we can challenge for a title?
He's been totally realistic. He's not setting himself up for a fall. He knows when he took this job, his requirements were progression in the Champions League and top four. And if we finish in top four, considering the start we've had to the season, it's an achievement.
Yeah. Yeah,
just thinking that. Sorry, I started laughing and didn't hear that. John Best being bummed.
By a little boy.
Yeah, not a little boy, a legal age.
Stop bringing in the little boys.
By Tom Carroll.
Yeah. Sorry.
Just Oliver Skip.
For some reason,
I
started flashing my head and I started laughing. I've interrupted the flow of the podcast.
He would just be holding onto John Best.
His massive ass.
And his body, he could probably nestle within the bum crack.
Yeah, yeah. He'd just sort of sit there and
just holding on to the back end like Buckaroo. Giving it four beans.
Beautiful. So what were we talking about?
I don't know. I've lost my train of thought. Oh, top four. I think he's just being, he's being realistic about it by not saying we're going to finish in the top four. But I also think he's like focusing the mind that due to these other results, suddenly kind of it looks doable now when it looked completely gone. So I think he's kind of, that's got to be number one on the list of things we should be trying to aim for.
What are your expectations? Do you think top four is... we should expect top four, or would you prefer to remain like, if it happens, great, but...
I mean, a few weeks ago, I was kind of trying to come to terms with no Champions League football next season, but...
We all did.
I've started to pay more attention to Chelsea now, and I think Chelsea are fallible. I don't think they're...
They just lost at home to West Ham.
They're definitely
fallible.
Against Valencia, they were weak as well. And
then they lost to Man City.
Without Tammy
they were
Abraham,
good against Man City, though, I thought.
Without Tammy Abraham, they haven't looked... The Giroud's awful... And I think the transfer ban's still in place for January.
Yeah.
So, I think we can get Chelsea. Leicester, we just need Leicester to get a couple of injuries and they're fucked.
I don't see them falling away at all. I think they feel like Tottenham of 2016.
One injury. Vardy hurts his knee, they're fucked. Vardy, Madison, one of their players.
He's never had an injury, Vardy. Barely ever had an injury. He's not going to get one now, is he?
Well, look, it's time.
He's due one.
Racists never get injured, though.
Brilliant. John Terry never really had an injury.
Never got
there
injured.
You go.
You know, whatever racist.
Lucas has been pretty injury free.
Lucas has been injury free. That's true.
Yeah. Hitler until the bunker.
Yeah, he was pretty fallible. Infallible.
Yeah,
what's
he was
the opposite.
I mean,
doesn't matter.
Invincible.
Yeah, of course. In a way, got his tactics wrong in the end, didn't he?
Too far. Should have played Dele in the hole.
Yeah. What he should have done, he should have parked the bus.
He should have brought in Dele Alli.
Half of Europe, parked the bus.
Put Eric Dyer in Poland.
Leave the Russians alone.
Yeah, definitely. Didn't want that heat. What are we doing?
We've done World War II and me being bummed. It's about 10 minutes in. It's great.
I put a tweet out saying I wanted to sign Tyrone Mings.
Yeah.
I can imagine him next to Toby.
Yeah.
And some fucking G responded and said, what, Mings and Pings?
Oh, yes.
Mings and Pings at the back.
Yes.
A few people didn't like it, though. People were saying... they don't rate Tyrone Mings. I think he's a really good player.
Good player.
Ake, good player as well.
Yeah.
I think it solves some problems.
I agree with the person that said Davinson Sanchez is the best defender at Tottenham. I gave that a cheeky little like.
Again, another one of these things where I've tweeted after a game. Well, you'll notice an increase in tweets after a game, after I've had a few drinks. Okay. And then you'll see a completely lull when I'm sober.
Yeah.
And then I'll have a drink and you'll see a few more. But I think Davinson Sanchez has been as impressive as Dele Alli has in his own way.
Yeah.
I just think he's... And this is coming from a person who, for a long time, thought that he was never going to make it at Tottenham. I didn't even really feel that he was a Premier League footballer, let alone a Tottenham footballer. Is that harsh?
Properly harsh.
Is it?
It's like an established international who's done bits on the world stage.
Yeah, but so is Yerry Mina for Colombia. That doesn't count.
He's better than Yerry Mina.
Fine, Yerry Mina.
Jerry.
That's not his name.
His name is Jerry.
It's Yerry.
No, but why is it pronounced with a J? I think.
No,
yeah.
No one cares about that. Everyone's Jerry. Anyway, look, what I'm saying is that a dog could get into a Colombia side. That doesn't mean that Davinson Sanchez is a good footballer. That said, however, I fully admit I'm wrong. I thought he's been brilliant in the last three games. I've put out two tweets to that effect, and the response has been mixed. Some people say, well, we're watching a different game. And I'm saying, no, you're a racist. That's why you don't like it.
I thought he was really good against Olympiacos. I thought he dug us out of quite a few holes that Winks and Alderweireld put us into. And the weird thing is, I haven't been that impressed with Alderweireld until this week, where he started to show his passing range to come back again.
His pings have been amazing. T sent in a question saying, is our Tottenham now a long ball football club?
I think against a team like Bournemouth that's really good at pressing and keeps the midfield kind of congested, hitting long ball over the top to someone running into space is always an excellent option.
It's a weapon. Use it.
The thing is, it's not just long ball if basically any time you get pressure on your back four, they just hit it home. If you've got someone who can play like 40, 50 yard pings like into space and you've got runners, like all the top teams do it. Like Liverpool play quickly out of the back, because sometimes you just need to just beat that midfield. If the midfielder trying to squash you and pin you in, just bypass it.
And it's also like Pochettino's teams weren't playing direct football all the time. Well, we've been playing direct football for 2-3 years.
Yeah, I was going to say Liverpool. John nailed it with that. I think the way Liverpool switch the play and immediately force your midfield to turn round and run towards their own goal. If you become predictable and you overuse it, then of course you become a long ball, but being able to mix it up is a huge advantage.
Yeah, and that's the benefit for them is having Alisson, because sometimes he gets it and he just sprays it immediately into space. Sometimes he keeps it. Like, I think
in terms of ball playing centre backs, there's only Van Dijk and Alderweireld on a level. The rest of them are not there
in the Premier League.
Well,
I was going to say Bonucci's excellent distribution. De Ligt is pretty decent as well.
Right.
PK Varane. There are other
in the Premier League, though.
Sure.
Yeah, there's just and the thing is that when people think long ball team, the last really truly effective long ball team was like Arsenal and Wimbledon,
Stoke, when they first came up.
So and Burnley. To be fair,
I was going
to
say Burnley, Chris Wood. But
there's a different type of direct play that Burnley are playing, where it's literally let's land this on Chris Wood's head, or Ashley Barnes' head, and your muscle, you use your strength. Whereas the balls that Van Dijk and Alderweireld are playing are like guided missiles, that are landing at the feet or chest of the players. Not they ain't like coming to Chris Woods and him knocking it down and runs some little nippy cunts.
But do you remember when Sunderland and they had Quinn and
Phillips.
Was incredible long ball stuff.
Yeah, it was mad thing. Just quickly to go back on Sanchez. Do you remember when Jose was at United and they played Ajax in the final, and he basically afterwards he came out and said, we targeted Sanchez, we just let him have the ball because he couldn't play, and he like, basically dug him out saying he's shit.
Yeah, I was worried about his career. I thought he was done.
But I actually think that, weirdly, like long term, that's actually done us a favour, because I think Sanchez is like, I'm going to fucking prove you wrong and I'm going to step up to the plate, because he has been, I think he's been absolutely quality in all three games.
And so, like for him to, if this is Sanchez that we hoped he would be, then we've just suddenly got a centre back that we can rely on out of nowhere.
For a generation, he's a young man. You've got seven to maybe longer years. If we can, if he continues on this trajectory, then that is why when I said what I said on Twitter about
what did you say
that he's better than King. This is what I was aiming for.
You didn't say he's better than King.
Yeah,
it was you said he had a higher.
High ceiling, basically.
Are we editing? Are we editing?
I'm not scared.
You are scared. You edited yourself right then.
No, I didn't.
All right. It's fine. I'm in so much pain, by the way. Can I just say, for the listeners, because they'll want to know, I've got something wrong with my arse.
And this has got nothing to do with the gay sex conversation earlier.
Absolutely not. But if anything, that'd be fine. Your arse would be hurting, not mine. Sissoko gets a start on that right-hand side. Sissoko was one of the players we thought might suffer under Mourinho's team. A couple of people, I can't remember, said that actually he is a Mourinho type player.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about his goal, because it was, firstly, an absolutely top draw goal. Yeah. The football for it was amazing. Yeah. But when that ball came in, and I was like, I was watching, it's Sissoko. Like, and it's not easy. What he did isn't easy, although you'd expect a professional footballer to do it. Yeah. But for Sissoko, that was near on impossible to put it in that corner. It weren't just. It was unstoppable. Yeah.
He had to go across the face of goal. But the weird thing is, every time I watch it back, I still think he's going to miss.
Same, yeah.
I still think he's going to clip the post and go the other side. It was an amazing finish. I honestly was one of those that thought the cult of Sissoko was finished. That him being a fan's favourite and getting time on the field was done. Especially when he didn't start against West Ham. But obviously he's doing things to impress Mourinho. And when he brought him on against Olympiacos, he was excellent. And once again, he's proven his worth. And we know he's an excellent babysitter for a right back.
Yeah.
And he's kind of got a role in life doing that, looking after.
Just while we've got you on Sissoko, we've got a new line of like we're fucking Armani. So we've got some t-shirts we produced, t-shirts, jumpers with Sissoko's face on them. You'll love them.
The winter collection.
Yeah, you've got that one, haven't you?
Big time.
You've got the probably the best jumper we've ever produced.
Correct.
There's a version on that. That won't get us served with cease and desist again. It's about eight now that we've had. It's fucking ridiculous. Have a little look on fightingcock.co.uk/ I'm going to say shop. That's a bit.
If we order now, will they arrive in time for Christmas?
Of course, yeah. You can order them now before and get them for Christmas, yeah.
Okay. Get them in.
Another late couple of goals. You know, West Ham's that little nervy finish. This was a little bit more nervy because Bournemouth had quite a lot of play towards the end of the game. Are you worried about these late goals going in at all, John? Is this a concern? Something we need to that needs to be worked on? Is it just football?
Well, yeah, no. It's always a concern if you're conceding late goals and it's consistently. Did you see that the times were exactly the same from the West Ham game to the Bournemouth game?
I didn't see that.
That's a really weird coincidence. Like exactly the same time. It is a little concern because if you're conceding late goals and you come up against better opposition, then like kind of logic goes that you might end up fucking it and losing the game. But what I would say is I'd rather us start like this, where we're scoring a lot of goals and conceding some, than just being a little bit turgid and like nicking games 1-0 at this stage. Because I feel like, especially with Mourinho, he can coach a defence. Coaching creativity is a little bit more difficult. So I think we're actually doing okay going forward. We just need to tighten up. And I think once he gets a set back four, and it might be the side that played, you know, Vertonghen as the kind of left back that doesn't really go forward, Aurier right back that raids, and then Sanchez and Alderweireld. That might be the solid back four, and I think he'll just play that week in, week out until he gets it right.
If Vertonghen is a little bit jaded and his legs have gone somewhat, that role is pretty good for him, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Is that he still can have the class of Vertonghen, but if he can't get up and down the pitch, that having that, just being that protective extra centre back and the sort of defensive minded left back in the absence of Davies, it seems to make sense. Like, I can't see how Rose plays ahead of him. Vertonghen in that instance.
If that's a system, I think it does suit Vertonghen. It's like we've been talking about it a lot. Almost kind of a back three there. It does suit. I don't think long term it's a solution, but it's a workaround until he figures out what to do with Sessegnon and Rose.
Yeah, I also think
forward. Like, they've got to play forward if they're going to play. He could invert that system.
I think it's also because there's a question later on. I'm going to shoot my load early, but I think there's a question later
not
on.
The first one.
Yes, John Boy.
I think I'm going to. I think until we have a proper.
Didn't laugh, eh?
and see how it goes.
That's a shame.
I'm just reliving it in his mind.
Sorry, right? That's a real shame.
It happens, but you know, it happens to the best of us. Sometimes it's all right. It goes early.
Yeah,
is it?
You got to get on with your day.
Oh, it's only because I love you so much.
Yeah, and it's like you don't have sex with me enough.
Yeah, you shot it on the back of my head. How much can you love me?
If you want me to last longer, have sex with me more often.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I would grow a tolerance.
It's her fault. Yeah, that's sure. The thing. If you're one of the blokes out there that suffer from premature ejaculation, just blame her.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
So I think until we solve our defensive midfielder, I think we'll see this a lot more. Because I don't think Dyer is the future at DM.
Yeah. Yeah, Bardi and I were talking before we started recording actually about the way that we've started under Mourinho. I think this is him just basically going, right, what's the quickest way to get this team up and running? And he's just going to have a look at it over the next kind of like 3 or 4 months. And I don't think this will be the team that ends up being the one that hopefully pushes us to the next
play.
Yeah, maybe the whole thing.
Don't you think it's fucking fantastic and maybe fascinating rather than fantastic that in order to solve these problems, they've come up with this quite odd sort of style of play or formation.
Yeah.
And I keep saying it's odd. I'm just saying it because I don't watch a great deal of football, but I've never seen this right back that's just free floating.
But don't you remember when, I think it was the last season at the Lane.
It was so heavily weighted towards the right.
Yeah.
And then to trust that into Sissoko and Aurier is quite a big big statement. It hasn't failed. So
it's before. Out there. But we did do that a little bit under Poch because he used to play. So the idea of like Rose and Walker when they were there as fullback, they didn't actually start as many games together as people remember. He would often play Davies and then play Walker and then switch it up with different fullbacks for that exact reason. It wasn't as like pronounced, I guess, but it was a similar
what system. I mean, like, but when they did that, they'd bomb in, Dyer would drop into that back two, or at least just sit in front of the back two defenders, which would give us a bit of stability. But this is an odd formation with the ball.
Yeah, I think it's odd because
It's actually probably just 3-5-2.
I think it's really odd because of how pronounced it is, but we've quite often kind of jabbed with the left, kind of probed with Rose or Davies, and then it's been Trippier or Walker, whoever has actually provided the penetration on the right. This time it's just really obvious because it's Ben Davies or Vertonghen on the other side.
Yeah, for sure. We've got a question from North London, is ours. It says, are the cracks still being papered over despite these wins? What areas does Mourinho need to improve on so he can win games convincingly? I think we talked a little bit about this.
Yeah, we touched over that he's kind of moulded a team together to take points. I still think midfield is an issue. I want to see what he's going to do with Ndombele, what he's going to do with Lo Celso going forward, and also how he's going to fix the Winks Dyer issue, because he will probably play those two against Manchester United, but I don't think that's the future.
Matic?
No, fuck no.
What if he did?
We need someone a bit with
what
legs.
If he did, though?
No.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Can't get behind that. Yeah, I agree with Bardi about those positions. I would also say, like, kind of going forward, if you think about when we attack in that three, which is like Son, Kane, and then Lucas or Sissoko is very upgradable. And I think like maybe kind of, you know, mid to long term, that's the next position that really takes you over the edge. And if you look at Liverpool, for example, like they've got Mane and Salah in those positions. Like Son is comparable, but Lucas and Sissoko aren't. So that would be the area that I think would take us up another level.
Memphis, if we sign Memphis, who's been absolutely fucking insane since he left Man United.
Yeah. Memphis Depay?
Doing bits for Holland and Leon, man.
Really?
Bits.
Yeah. I'd get Sancho as well if I had the cash, but I think
that's 100 mil.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we do have the cash now.
Yeah, fuck yourself. 100
mil by Sancho.
We're cash rich. 100 mil. He hasn't even had that great a season this year.
Do you see his goal he scored at New Camp, mate?
Absolutely not.
Mate, also, he links up with Kane for England. Ripping it up. Imagine that front three, Sancho, Kane and Son.
Jesus.
Shut your mouth.
That's FIFA, mate.
Yeah. That's getting John Bass on all fours and pegging the shit out of him.
But surely we've got to like fix our fullback situation.
Fuck it. Just score loads of goals.
Boring. So boring.
Just
so
win every game 5-4.
So tell us a little bit about what's been happening in Dybala.
He's actually doing all right.
Right, so is he not going to leave?
Yeah,
Juve have been really bad. Ronaldo's, I think he's barely scoring goals. I think he scored this weekend, first goal in ages. He's not doing anything. They've been heavily reliant on Dybala.
Yeah, Inter just went top, eh? So he's now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they're really struggling.
How are your boys then, Fiorentina?
Ah, shit.
You have some tough luck.
I just want to. I'm just might as well just fucking just support PSG.
It's like T. 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 He's he just backs loads of boxers that always end up getting sparked out. If T's backing one of your boxers, you're fucked.
Cans,
you're
fucked. That's what you said.
Yeah, the cans. He backs tin cans. He backs cans. That's it for the first half of the Fighting Hot podcast. We've got Bardi's Brainbusters coming.
Yeah. Oh, shit. So making my debut, son.
Making your debut. And I need to kind of reaffirm my place as the second best.
What was it you said in WhatsApp? I'm going to smash up John Bass.
I'm going to smash John Bass's massive...
guts in. One gut.
Massive skull. I'm going to smash his massive skull.
His Neanderthal brain.
It is pretty big.
It's large.
Fuck! Yeah. Buddy, you nearly got caught up in a Brexit sort of racism kind of episode, didn't you?
Oh, at that Spurs.
Yeah.
I was thinking, how did you know that? But yeah. So for Olympiakos... obviously Olympiakos scored early, and from behind there was a little kind of a few screams and like whoops of celebration, turned round and it was a whole fucking generation of Greeks.
Jesus.
There was grandparents, parents, children, yeah, and fucking cousins, all of them.
Yeah.
And they were celebrating, so as a good upstanding gentleman of the public, I grassed them the fuck up. I grassed them up, and then they started getting mouthy with me, and I told the young lady to fuck off.
Yeah.
And she said, "Why are you telling me to fuck off?" I said, "You shouldn't be here."
Yeah.
And then some other Spurs fan reiterated it, but perhaps changed the tone of "You shouldn't be here."
Yeah.
At that point I sat down and I'm not getting involved.
So what do you mean she shouldn't have been here in the country?
I was like, you shouldn't be in the
ground.
Home stand.
Of course.
You're allowed to be in the ground, but not in the home side.
Yeah, you shouldn't be here. Whereas, that's a fair thing to say.
I think the way maybe he suggested it was like, you shouldn't be here.
Yeah, yeah. You shouldn't be here. Yeah.
And she told him, you need to get a fucking education.
She needs to get a fucking education.
She needs to fucking educate herself.
She's
mate.
In a fucking home end. She's celebrating.
Eight of them.
You need a fucking education.
But I knew it was weird because the game started and within 30 seconds I had a grandma tapping me on the shoulder telling me to sit down.
So you should fucking slap
in
her.
In my fucking stadium.
Yeah, you should slap the woman and slap the grandma. How dare grandma tell you anything?
CCTV.
She's had her living.
Yeah.
She's done her bit.
What's she doing now?
She's a parasite. She
shouldn't be here.
She's draining off our fucking economy. She's as bad as the Greeks.
As soon as Olympiakos scored, they scored fucking early. They all took their scarves out and were having a good old jolly laugh about it. And I was just like, fuck this. Not being mugged off.
You should have weighed in.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to weigh in. I'm not like that. But anyway, security came
over. What you will do is have a strong word.
I did have a strong word. I told her to fuck off.
I will point them out to the authorities really sternly. They're over there.
They are over there. The Fighting Cock is backed by FansBet. If you like a bet of football, then consider using FansBet. They've got an app. They've got all good odds and all that. And half of their profits go back to good causes in football. So if you like usually using Ladbrokes or Betfair or Betball or fucking WinBet, Brazil on Bet, or whatever.
Stop promoting the other ones.
That I've made. How many of those are real?
Betball.
Less than
Betball as well. And Ladbrokes as well. Yeah, but
LadBets.
None of those give back to the community, right? And the fans but do. And more importantly, they support the Fighting Cock.
Yeah.
So the causes are important, but not as important as supporting the Fighting Cock. To celebrate this, we've got a brand party's Brainbusters.
Yes.
Before we go into that, we've been drawn against Middlesbrough away in the FA Cup. Don't know anything about them.
Yeah,
what is it?
Getting
it's
on.
Fucking Pulis, isn't it?
No idea.
Is it?
I don't often look down to the Championship.
No, I just look to see if Leeds are coming up. I like Leeds. I like the Leeds away day and that kind of stuff. It's exciting.
I couldn't tell you who's top of the Championship. I like a
it
lot.
It is
like
West
football.
Brom or Leeds, one or the other.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know Charlie Austin is at West Brom. That's about as deep as my Championship knowledge.
Is he really?
Yeah. I do like, I've always had a soft spot for Middlesbrough. They've always had some interesting players. Ravanelli, Juninho, Emerson with the hair.
Yeah,
you know.
That's right. I remember my only memory of Middlesbrough is when they got to the FA Cup final, I think it was against Chelsea, and we did like a sweepstake, and I got Gianluca Festa, first goal scorer.
Nice.
And I was like, well, that's fucking waste of £5.
Did he didn't do anything.
No.
Can I take you back a bit? What do you mean Emerson with the hair? What does that mean?
Do you not mean Emerson?
What do you mean?
He had long...
What sort of hair?
What sort of hair?
Long curly hair.
Curly hair.
Is it?
Curly hair. Is that how you describe it?
I don't know. I think so.
I don't know. Just trying to figure out how Brexit you are.
I'm going to go at the career.
And they had Juninho as well. Not the free kick Juninho, the other one. Older, younger
proper
fans.
The baby face kind of.
Yeah.
He never. Did he? I mean, he won a World Cup, didn't he?
Yeah, so he did bits for Brazil.
Yeah. Yeah, you like that saying, didn't you?
It just got into my head. I don't know, I think it's John Bass. I've never said it before today.
So yeah, I'm gonna sort of cement my position as number two in the quiz rankings, right. And John Bass is about to be humiliated.
Wow!
I'm gonna smash his fucking head in.
We're gonna do it now.
Yeah, right now. Let's
right
do
now.
It.
Fuck.
Right, I'm
going to
have a big
gulp.
Are
you quite good at this? How do you feel about your listening to it, do you find it easier?
Yeah, but there's no pressure when you're listening, so you kind of, you know, take a step back, don't you? It's easy. Now I'm under pressure. I can already feel that.
It's horrible.
The nerves building.
And you feel like you're doing Bardi injustice because he puts work in.
I do put a lot of work in.
I know you do.
Yeah.
So
one day I'm going to do a quiz back to you, see what happens.
No, yeah. I asked the question again. So this is a December themed, because we're now in December.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Nearly Christmas.
Yeah, it's Christmas.
So this is December themed, and we're going to start off with some December transfers. So in the good old days before transfer windows came in, where you could buy players
what
at
year?
Any time.
What year did they come in? Like 2004?
I don't know. I asked the questions.
Okay, cool, sir. Sorry.
So, we're going to start with a nice simple one to get you both warmed up. I was signed for free in January 1998. I played 21 times and scored 3 goals before I left on a free transfer on New Year's Eve in 1998. So he joined us in January and he left us that same year.
98. Is it Rosenthal?
No, he left us that same year after scoring 3 goals in 21 games.
Nicholas Bertie.
Fuck.
Nicholas.
Doesn't matter.
Stuart
Inquiry. I accept that.
VAR checking.
Can you remember who he joined?
Inter Milan.
No, here's who he joined from.
Yeah. Monaco.
No, he went to Alaves for free as well.
Good.
Great sign.
Played 50 games there, then retired.
Yeah. Big fat pig now.
He is, but he loves
Man
the women.
Man after my own heart. Love it.
He loves the women. I arrived at Spurs in December 1996 for $2.6 million. I joined up with manager Jerry Francis. This would be the second time I played under him. For Spurs, I played 33 games, scored just the one goal in the 1999 League Cup run.
Come on.
Fuck it now.
I played in defence. I joined from Liverpool.
John Scales.
John Scales. That's 2-0 to Flav.
This is a whitewashing.
I am good at this.
He left Spurs.
Honestly feel I'm ready to take on tea.
He left Spurs.
His fucking face.
Played
well.
Two more games for Ipswich and retired for injury because we have a reputation of killing people.
Injury prone. He also has a degree.
Does he?
Yeah.
I always found him quite alluring. Quite
bonus point. That.
What's his degree in?
Justice.
Sports science. Look at his shit knee.
Okay, next one. I joined Spurs on Christmas Eve 1998 for
£750,000. Christmas Eve? Imagine that. What a Christmas present.
That's
£750,000.
I'm a midfielder. 1998,
right?
1998. Christmas Eve. I'm a midfielder. I would go on to play 102 games for Tottenham.
Gee.
But I never scored a goal.
98.
I joined from Champions League winning Borussia Dortmund.
Stefan Freund.
There he is.
Get in.
You didn't
Shut
believe me.
I was
going to
say it and then I bottled it.
Always, why bottle it? Because you can't. You don't get a loser point.
No, but I don't want to say something mental and then people are like, are you
but don't believe in yourself, John.
We believe in you. You're here. Right?
You weren't believing me a minute ago when you were saying I was going to get pegged by like
that's
some
small boy.
Yeah.
Okay, next round is called Squaddies.
Squaddies.
I don't know. That's not gammon. This is not racist.
What is?
I don't know what you're going to say.
Squaddies.
Squaddies is just like a name, like a colloquial term for some people that go in the army.
Oh, okay, yeah. Fair enough.
What did you think it was?
I got a little bit worried as I read it.
Although, think about it. This is the gammon derby.
Yeah, it is the gammon derby.
Here's a list of players, but what squad number unites them? Oh. So I'm going to give you a list of players in chronological order.
Is the number 17? Bonus point.
You're such a prick. What
the is the number 17?
It's such a prick.
He's got to read the question, so it's first in, isn't it?
Have I got it right?
No.
Because O'Hara, Friedel, Pritchard.
Friedel.
Serge Aurier.
23.
24.
24,
big
jump. Shut your mouth.
Why did you call me prick for 17?
No, because it doesn't matter.
that's one question dropped.
Question that.
Oh, sorry.
Lee Barnard.
Yep.
Kyle Walker. Fire assist merchant Tom Carroll.
What was he?
Ndombele.
28!
28! Flav takes the lead! 3-2!
Shit! Jeez.
Martin Fulop, rest in peace.
15.
Kevin Prince-Boateng.
11.
Dos Santos and Good Johnson in the same season.
18.
Dos Santos again.
18, was he?
Townsend.
17.
Sissoko, 17.
Fuck.
Yeah, had to come up eventually. So I've got two Vardy bonus points on offer in here.
Oh, wow.
These are game changers.
I love the Vardy bonus.
I need these.
In the current squad, from numbers 1 to 11, two numbers are currently missing, are unassigned. What are they?
10.
No.
Nine.
Yes. One for John Bass.
1 to 11.
1 to 11.
So 4.
There's one more number unassigned.
5.
No.
6.
No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
No, minus a point for being a dick.
That's logic. That's smart logic. 11. No.
Yeah, you're cheating there.
You can't do
it's
that.
You're not just cheating. It's not in the spirit of the game. That's like... Come on, mate.
Yeah. I mean, as an Italian, you should see that I'm bending the rules there.
So then no one's going to get a point for
no,
that.
No, how about give him the point? I'll still smash him. How about that? Oh, no, you're the quick
one. I was like, absolutely not.
Sorry. But what was it?
It was number 2 and number 9. Hmm. So no one took Trippier's number, no one took Janssen's number. Right,
and 9 isn't a kind of fanciful number anymore, is it?
It's been cursed by Soldado, Janssen, Pavlyuchenko, those guys. Pavlyuchenko maybe.
He was alright, but yeah.
Pav was alright, yeah.
My arse.
Okay, so there's two questions left. We've got Flav on 4, Big John Bass on 3. End of year fixtures. It's December 28th, 1997. We're playing Arsenal at home. We draw 1-1. We line up with 5 magnificent defenders. Steve Carr, Colin Calderwood, Sol Campbell, Ramon Vega. But who is playing in what looks like a left wing back role?
What day?
1997.
Ziga.
No.
Justin Edinburgh.
No.
Just remember, gee, that's a good job. A left wing back? Just left. Causton.
No, he's a defender. But he's playing in what looks at, well, if you're playing 5 defenders, got to be a left wing back.
Yeah. Tramazzani?
No.
Doherty?
He was an old dude. He was old when we signed him.
Clive Wilson,
well done. That's Flav 5.
Never missed a penalty in his life.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
Not even in training. Yeah.
I played against him when he was about 50 odd now. Shit.
Did he have a penalty? Fucking slightly, mate.
Couldn't get to the penalty spot.
On the 30th of December 2000, despite playing with no strikers, we get walloped 3-0 away to Ipswich. Dark days, man.
Yeah.
So we had 5 guys in midfield.
Yeah.
30th of December 2000. Our midfield lines up with King, Anderton, Clements, Leonardson, Sherwood, and one more player.
Anderton.
I said Anderton. King, Anderton, Clements, Leonardson, Sherwood, and one more.
Sinton.
No, he was a wide player, though.
Fox.
No.
I was going to say Fox. Juninho.
No. His name might have already been mentioned in a bad answer already this evening.
Causton.
It's amazing how Flav is like, hacked my phone.
I can do tea. I'm brimming full of confidence.
So I had a tiebreaker.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I had a tiebreaker. So just shout, but don't obviously count.
Okay.
Is that right, John? Rebrov scored how many goals for Spurs in his 60 appearances? Just see who can get closest to pin.
17.
No, who can get closest to pin? 17.
I'll go for 9.
9, John Basswood would have won that round, that point. It was 10 goals and 60 appearances.
That's 1 in 6. Do you remember that header he scored against Arsenal?
No,
he didn't do that.
He scored a good goal against West Ham once. Anyway, Flav wins, Bardi's Brain Busters, 6-4.
Two on the bounce.
That's
2 without reply. And John Bass, hang your head in shame.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was great. It was difficult.
You've got to go with your instinct.
Yeah. I fucked myself by cheating. I think I fucked you,
basically. Being better.
The Gammon Derby is over for another year.
Did you say? I saw a picture, found a piece of gammon in Iceland the other day, which is the most gammon place you could find gammon. Mike Dubb, 79 on Twitter, he says, where do we need to strengthen the most in January? And who would you want? Fairly realistically. I would want... What's happened to David Brook, by the way?
I think he's injured.
Right. What about Harry Wilson?
He looks alright.
Is he the one that used to play for United?
No.
Right, where's he come from?
Liverpool. He's on loan from Liverpool.
Oh, no, no, no.
Realistically, I really like the cut of Ndidi's jib. Mm. I think he's an excellent defensive midfielder who can move, and I think he would do a cracking role for Tottenham.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a good shout. We do need that position, that like holding midfielder, this mobile. I just don't know who else, aside from Ndidi, who's out there, and it would be quite difficult to get him, I think. Like, getting Leicester players out of Leicester right now
is tough.
But yeah, I think that's the sort of player that we'd want to get.
I'd like Grealish.
Yeah, Grealish shout.
Yes.
Grealish.
Definitely is the ball. I mean, if we'd have got him a year ago, that would have been good.
Yes.
we're going to have to replace Eriksen, I think, with the money you're saving in Eriksen that you would have spent on his wages if you'd accepted the offer. We could get Grealish in. It would be expensive, but I think it's a gamble worth taking.
I don't think Eriksen has a role in our current setup anyway, so I don't think Eriksen being sold in January, I don't think hurts us too much.
No, I don't think so either. No. I'm not sure we can get Grealish in January, but if it's a view to getting him down the line, he's going to go to one big club. Yeah. It's like either Liverpool or Tottenham, really.
Yeah. I think he'd be great in the side with Dele, and he's a great alternative to Dele. Like, imagine him in that free role, just in behind Kane. I think he would do absolute
bits.
He's great.
He's absolutely brilliant. What?
Do bits is the name of this podcast.
It's happening now, doing bits.
I've literally never said it either.
I've never said it.
Big John Bass has got me saying it. Now I'm actually saying it. Fuck.
Max Aarons at Norwich.
I thought he looked excellent. And you know who I really liked, but I would never want to sign him? Hernandez, that left winger.
He's like a maverick. He's like
Ibrahimovic's aborted child, isn't he?
Well, he reminds you a lot of Adama Traore,
yeah,
but with even less end product.
And he's got the neck of Palacios as well.
Yeah. He's got a lot of fun.
He'd be great.
Max Aarons, I'd quite like. Mm. I like Grealish, as you say. Ake or Tyrone Mings in defence. Wilson does look good, but obviously he's not going to leave Liverpool for us. I think that'll do.
I'd probably get that Gibbs White from Wolves because he's been gone a bit quiet, and I think he's quite talented. You could probably get him for quite a reasonable amount now, and he'd be a nice little forward.
Do you remember when everyone was raving, to Alex from Bristol, was raving about Watmore from Sunderland?
Okay, that's his legacy.
What happened to him?
Because of Alex,
I need to Google what happened.
He's still around. Alex likes to nail his colours to the mast early. If he's right, he's genius.
Bored of Alex talking about Ben Davies and VAR. I'm getting to the point where I'm actually for VAR because Alex is it. Like, I get you don't like it, Alex. If you're listening to this, I understand you don't like it. We don't have to have a fucking hour-long rampage of diatribe every time a VAR decision happens.
But VAR is normally right.
Alright, I'm literally past caring now. I realise it's just a part of the game. If it is, it is. If it ain't.
The rules are the shittest bit about it. They need to change the rules to make it better for the fans, because the offside rule is shit. I know that's not strictly VAR, but you know what I mean.
Okay. News and articles. Mauricio Pochettino would have to repay his £12.5 million payoff if he takes another Premier League job this season. I don't understand. It's news because it was reported in the Daily Express, but if he hands back that money, you'll just be paid that by whatever club he goes to, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Pochettino should just be a sensible fucking human being and go and take... Wait until the summer, PSG, go and take a fucking PSG, get a Bayern, win a couple of trophies.
Real Madrid.
And then just fuck everything off. Yep. He literally has nothing left to prove. Where's he going to go? To Arsenal? To do what? To spend another 5 years not winning anything?
He won't go to Arsenal, but I think the Man United job's huge for him. I think... I could see that happening.
If he goes to Man United now and he doesn't win anything within a year, 18 months, the whole thing starts again. He doesn't win anything. He should just go get that monkey off his back, win a couple of cups somewhere.
PSG would be a great move for him because he can learn so much. Yeah. Learn how to win. But it's a high pressure job because they expect to win, but the resources are so much so that with his incredible talent as a coach, you'd be able to get great results out to that team, get some wins, and then go to Bayern Munich or Real Madrid. You're better than Arsenal.
Exactly. Almost exactly what Brendan Rodgers has done. Brendan Rodgers went to Scotland, so one league, he won a shitload of trebles, came out of there, now his stock is really high, and he could. If Brendan Rodgers takes Arsenal job, he's stupid. He could probably wait around and get something.
He's come out and said, he said, why would I leave Leicester right now? He goes, I mentioned one thing about a clause in my contract, and then everyone's kicking my... Why did you mention the clause?
He's an egotist. He wants to be talked about.
Big jobs, yeah.
Do you remember when that female escort...
I was thinking about this.
Every time I think about him, I think about that.
Because that was the game when we played them at home. Yeah. And was it when Bale scored an own goal with his face?
I remember.
And I think it was maybe the little chant popped up.
Like tweeting... It might have been 1982 one, I'm not sure.
It was like...
So it just came out, like this transsexual prostitute said, I've taken Brendan Rodgers' dick.
But the thing is, it makes sense, because he's always got that little bit of, like, crusty little, like, herpes thing in the corner of his mouth.
He needs some Vaseline.
That doesn't necessarily get that from transsexuals, is it?
No, well, not just... Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, what? Something weird there, isn't there?
What are you
saying?
Dirty,
dirty.
Yeah.
It's not dirty either, is it? If you have sex with a transsexual person, it isn't dirty.
No, I'm not saying specifically them. I'm saying is, you know, it's just general
what
vibe
do you mean
is...
Them?
That person.
Right. Sick of this. Daily Telegraph says Mauricio Pochettino has been advised by friends not to tarnish his reputation at Spurs by joining Woolwich and waiting for a better job to become available. I don't think that everything Pochettino has done and said suggests that he understands this perfectly well.
Yeah.
Mate, that's like me going to boys, I'd recommend not supporting Arsenal. Mm. Just gonna like put it out there, you know, just don't do it. Like it's just a completely pointless story.
Me saying boys, I'm thinking about doing a rape. And you going, I'm not sure that's good.
It might tarnish your reputation.
It might tarnish your reputation. I'm going to do a rape and go public.
I'm going to do bits in the rape scene.
I'm going to go public in the rape scene. And you've got going, probably not a good idea.
Do you know what that will do? Tarnish your bloody reputation.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the same thing. Connor McNamara says, Jose Mourinho says he will be inviting a different ball boy or ball girl to join the team for lunch ahead of every home game. I think the ball boy needs to be cancelled.
He needs to be shut down. He's getting too much power.
Yeah, who do you think he is?
I don't think he thinks he's much more than the ball boy, to be fair to the kid.
I've had a thing about ball boy. Not like that.
Fuck's sake, what is going on?
Ball boys have been annoying me for a long time because I'm a big believer.
They will not do what I want them to
do. I'm a big believer in the multi-ball system, so we should always have ball boys on the... They should all be on the game. When they're sitting on their little stalls, fucking not paying attention to this crowd, it annoys me. Yeah. So the fact that we have a ball boy who's doing his job properly...
Without him, we wouldn't have scored that goal.
He's just doing his job.
He's doing his job. So don't get credit for just doing your job. Exactly. When he doesn't get paid, but... You know, it's good that he did it. Yeah. What I would say though is that that's being all.
That's no context written all over it.
I'm thinking about ball boys. I did watch that bit of footage that the club put together about him meeting the clubs and the players and whatnot.
Propaganda, mate.
Yeah.
And I've just watched it with a massive smile on my face. I did enjoy it. John, buddy, can you just turn that light switch off? Not the one close. Yeah, that one.
Big one.
Yeah. No, the other one.
This is what caused the sonic boom the other day.
Yeah. Heung-min Song, he says to Jose Mourinho, he is very kind. He is smiling, making jokes. I like it. I think the results changed a lot, the positive vibe. Everyone is positive before games. The gaffer is doing a great job, and we are really happy with him.
Heung-min Son in Being Happy. Shock horror.
Shock horror.
Heung-min Son has been working really hard and putting a proper shift in. Yeah. We know Mourinho likes his wingers to work backwards. So, and
it's like his ball boys though.
So it's good to see Son embracing that. And that's it on that.
Yeah, I think he's like, basically Son's one of those players, whichever manager he works for, he'll try his hardest and he'll put a shift in.
Shit.
And I think he's just doing no different under Jose. I think he's going to be exciting for the rest of the season. To be fair, since we've signed him pretty much, Son has been an absolute dream signing. He has been fucking fantastic. And he's just so consistent. Like every season he's just putting numbers on the board. I'm not going to say it again. He's doing well.
And do you remember when we tried? Do you remember when there was the talk about selling Son?
Madness.
It was the Olympic Games. Let's get rid of him. He's not doing anything. Let's move him on. Fucking insane. This is why us lot. I'm not just talking about us three, but Spurs fans in general. That's why we're not in charge of the club.
No, you can't have a fan in charge of the club. It's stupid and it would make no sense at all. I don't like. You only have to listen back a couple of years of the pod firstly to appreciate how far we move forward, not the podcast, but the football club. But also to realise how bad your opinions are and how massively they're inflated or influenced by the form of the team. Okay, some questions. So MJ Johnson, 24, he says, are you going to watch the Amazon documentary? If so, are you going to cry more when Poch gets fired or when Spurs win the FA Cup? The answer will reveal the type of Spurs supporter you are.
I will watch it, but I've really got to the point I no longer care about Pochettino.
You're talking like that's a grand statement from you. I think you made it clear beforehand about like you pretty much wanted him gone.
I just don't like how people keep referring to him. Am I going to cry because a man got sacked for not doing his job properly? No. do I like him for what he did for Tottenham? Of course, yeah. But he got fucking sacked because he was fucking useless. He was useless, man. We weren't winning football matches. Fuck off.
And he had put the weight back on. I'm going to critique anyone about their weight, which is mental because it's me, but he was packing it on, and maybe that was why. Maybe you couldn't see
I often talk about him wanting to be my dad, but it's kind of dad who starts drinking too much, doesn't he?
Yeah, just like
lashing out at mum.
Yeah, hiding Mars bars in his boot.
Yeah. What?
It's like car park. Couple of Mars bars on the way to work.
Oh, right. Not for...
It sounds like you've got experience.
Yeah, you've done that. Have you got Mars bars in your boot?
Maybe I have. Maybe that's the reason I've been putting on so much weight. Mars bars in the boot.
I'm 100% going to watch the documentary. I'm actually really looking forward to it. And I was thinking the other day that while giving access to a football club isn't a great idea, sometimes it is. Because, it's certainly going to increase the brand of Tottenham. There are going to be a lot of people watching this documentary who, in America, don't have a decision on what club they want to, and they will follow Spurs because of it. Mm. But I remember watching a QPR documentary called 4-Year Plan or 5-Year Plan. Have you ever seen this?
No.
Have a look at it. I'm sure it's on YouTube. It is incredible. They allowed filmmakers, and it's better than the Sunderland Till I Die, much better. Yeah. They allowed filmmakers full access when Briatore and he's the F1 nonce.
Was it Ecclestone?
Yeah. Was in charge. And honestly, it's in terms of football and the access and what goes on behind a football club, it is gold.
I can imagine Briatore. Briatore is gold anyway. Yeah.
QPR it was. It's a good watch. And I just feel like this is going to be such a slick edit. I feel like they probably had a role in Mourinho's appointment, or at least that helped convince him. They're definitely paying a sizable amount of money. I don't think people fully understand how much money Amazon have and how easily, if they wanted at the click of a finger, like fucking Thanos, to just disintegrate Sky and BT in terms of rights, if there wasn't some sort of monopoly clause, they could do it.
Yeah,
and this is the first player first hand in the game of poker. Is that?
I watched the City one, but to be honest with you, I got a bit bored because I don't support City, and there was nothing new to learn there from that. But the Tottenham.
And what you'll get is propaganda. This is going to be propaganda for
the club. I don't care. It's Tottenham. It's Tottenham, and I will watch it. So yeah, do I have a problem with them filming it? No, I don't. Yeah.
John, to answer the question, I'm not sure anybody cried when Poch left, right? No one actually cried tears from their eyes.
I mean, I'm sure some people did.
There are horrors, terrible horrors going on in this world at the moment.
Yeah,
very close to home, actually.
Yeah,
if you're crying a football manager leaving your football club and not crying that there are starving children being blown up as they try and get a bowl of soup in this world,
then your
priorities are wrong.
Your priorities are all wrong.
But, you know, I don't think I'd cry in the FA Cup one either.
I'm
not a crier.
Yeah, I'm not a crier either.
I have cried. Tottenham did make me cry in the Champions League round last year.
Real Madrid, I cried. But like, when Eriksen scored that third goal, was it third?
Yeah.
When Eriksen scored
in
that
group stage.
The 3-1 at Wembley home. Yeah. Tears just fell out of my eyes.
I cried.
It was a complete performance.
I cried after Ajax, and I cried in the build-up to the final. I'm sending my wife a message like, this is the biggest momentous occasion of my life, other than our wedding. And Sissoko took a shit on it. Well, no, it's not Sissoko's fault. It's not his fault, but football took a shit on it.
I've never cried at football.
Have you cried?
I've cried once or twice in my life.
Dad? Not being here.
Not being around. Not shaping me into the man I should be today. Yeah, there is that. Yeah. But aside
from that, for the record, John made a joke about that first. I'm not I'm not making a joke about John's absent father without the precursor of the fact that it's okay now, right?
But what's mad is at the time it was a joke and you didn't laugh, and now you're making jokes about it and no one knows what the fucking punchline was. I can't believe it.
I cried on Sunday. I cried on Sunday.
Oh, Bournemouth.
No, that was Saturday.
All right.
I was match
really,
of day two.
I was really hungover on Sunday. And I match of day two. And I watched Britney Runs a Marathon.
Britney Spears.
Oh my God. No, not Britney Spears. Oh. The film is an Amazon. It's on Amazon. It's a film. It's about this large girl that runs a marathon.
What, a documentary?
I think it's based on a real story.
Yeah, and you cried your eyes out.
And right at the end, when she ran the marathon, she cried.
And that's the end.
That's fucking.
Well, it's called Britney Runs a Marathon.
Slowly. It's nice to be in touch with your emotions. It's good to cry every now and then. I do cry. I do. I am a crier. I cry more than my missus and
stuff.
Like
what film makes you cry, guaranteed? Mine's Forrest Gump.
What bit?
Well, there's a couple of bits.
When she's got AIDS and that.
Yeah, that bit is pretty dark. And like the kid's coming up to him and he's like, is that my bit's pretty
sad.
And then
wrong with give you AIDS.
Yeah, fuck you as well, boy. Carry on like that.
Yeah. Alabama! That bit. That gets me right in the feels. Birmingham, Alabama! I love you, Janet. Yeah, that's good. Bubba getting his... No, it's not. It's the other one getting his leg blown off.
Yeah, well, when Bubba dies and he's there...
I like it.
And he's going... He's like... talking to Forrest Gump. That bit's pretty sad.
Do the voice.
I'm not going to do the
voice. Right, I like the bit where Lieutenant Dan is... when he's lost his legs and he's having sex with a prostitute.
Yeah.
And they start laughing at him and he falls out and lands on the floor.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yeah, that is sad.
Oh.
That is sad.
That's funny bit, right? Funny, it's a comedy.
Sad. Slapstick, isn't it?
Sorry, what? Yeah, Forrest Gump?
Yeah, it makes me cry. That's it.
Okay. Notebook.
Yeah,
we watched.
Come back to me, my darling.
Oh God!
Notebook.
Notebook does get you in there. I know it's a girly film, but it gets you.
Yeah, it's a good film.
We watched The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. Fucking really sad. That was. The problem is, my wife is. I've said it before. My wife's a proper cryer. So when she starts crying, it makes me kind of laugh. Yeah. So
laugh.
Why I kind of have the. It counteracts. If I feel sad and I look at her and she's crying, then it kind of ruins.
You're laughing how hard your erection is. Look at that.
I'm dragging her into the bedroom.
That is ridiculous. Get in there. Yeah. Come on now.
Bonnie's just got all these selection of sad films on every Friday. So we've got Schindler's List.
Marley and Me.
Sophie's Choice.
I have a shower, so I'm perfectly clean. And then I put on a sad film. Spray my body.
Lay some plastic down on the bed.
Bonnie just stands next to the TV, but facing his missus, and just looks her in the eye. So she cries, the boner just comes. Like, you know what time it is, babe. Press pause.
One of the saddest films I've ever seen is A Monster Calls. That, go and watch that. If you want, it's an incredible piece of film, but it was so crushingly sad. I was like, it's like, you know, when you're uncontrollably heaving.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that sad. Not heaving like, I've just found out my dad's dead. Ugh, like that kind of evening. But like, oh my God, this is proper, like...
Yeah.
Getting me.
My sister's keeper is also exceptionally sad, where young people with cancer is always sad.
Oh, yeah, that's tough. That's a tough one.
So, yeah, hopefully we win the FA Cup.
Final question. Vinny O'Donnell on Twitter, he says, it's coming up to Christmas. You get to pick one player currently playing in the Premiership as your big present in the transfer window. Who is it? We did it a little bit, but if you had to pick one player, who would it be?
N'Golo Kante.
Oh yeah, one day
anyone
wins leagues.
Anyone, yeah,
he's exactly what we need. And the reason we didn't mention Miller is we can't get him, so that'd be perfect.
That's why I didn't go earlier. I held this one back for this question.
Cheeky,
you're always there, aren't you?
I'm always
reading
running.
See, here we go. This is why I thought you'd appreciate my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
No
spending of the rules.
No,
absolutely livid.
Not in my quiz, mate.
Not in my court, mate.
I can't see past Kante, you have to be honest.
Yeah, it's what we need, isn't it? We need that type of player, and he's pretty much the best in the business, and he's under our nose.
There we go. All right. And N'Golo Kante. That has been a very enjoyable hour of time spent with my two friends.
Yeah, it's been really nice.
Talking about Tottenham other stuff.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
All right. That's it. It's the fight in. It's the fight in. Clock. It's the fight in.
It's the fight in. Camel Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Look, my day job as a firefighter is tough, but my night job as a social media manager, my Persian cat Jinxie, that's intense. It's 8 p.m., I've finally gotten home from another 24-hour shift, and I just want to kick back with a cold one, but old Jinxie knocks my beer right off the counter and gives me that look that says, no drinking on the clock. But Heineken 00 keeps us both happy. Zero alcohol, but just as refreshing. So I get my drink, and I can still work on Jinxie's new line of merch.
Heineken 00. 0.0% alcohol. Now you can. Must be 21 plus to purchase. Enjoy responsibly.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.